Chapter 3. Cronus darts back into the room and slams it behind him, leaning against it, breathing hard. The frightened, hunted look on his face, God, the way his fins are canted back in dismay, makes you want to sink your claws into him and snarl. Dirk grabs him by the wrists before you've moved.
There you are,
he says roughly, as Cronus struggles in his grip. The scuffle doesn't last long, and then Dirk has Cronus's arms pulled behind his back.
You're a troublemaker, aren't you?
Fuck off, Cronus says, teeth bared, but his voice sounds more frightened than aggressive. It's almost pitiful, and that doesn't even blunt the edges of your need. That's no way to speak to anyone who is trying to help you, you tell him, with as much arrogance in your voice as you can manage. Don't be so rude and ungrateful. You're echoing things that you've had said to you, and it feels so nastily pleasant to be on the other side of that line.
Don't remember asking for your help, Cronus answers sulkily.
You step up into his personal space, watching his shoulders stiffen and his horns tip back. And that is exactly why you were assigned to me. Because you were too stubborn to do this the easy way. Cronus whines, and your nook throbs. Do you understand me? He catches his lip between his sharp high blood teeth and nods, looking at you like he's never really seen you before. Like he's in awe of you now. How much could you make him do? How much could you do to him? When you glance over Cronus's shoulder, at Dirk, he's smiling just slightly, and he nods to you once in approval.
Should I strip him for examination, boss?
He asks casually, as if it's no big deal either way. That's horrid. You're thrilled. I think that would be for the best, you say. You meet Cronus's eyes and smile. And perhaps it'll make you a little less inclined to run off again, hmm?
Oh, God,
Cronus whimpers. And you can smell the wash of pheromones off his skin. That's immensely reassuring. He couldn't fake that if he wanted to. Since he is such a troublemaker, though, you say, let me help with that. Just hold him for a moment, please.
Sure thing, boss,
Dirk says. You like having him call you that. You take a moment to retrieve some equipment from the cabinet. You blushed hot when Dirk explained to you how the spreader bar worked, and you're shaking a bit with nerves as you bring it back now. Cronus's eyes go wide, and he licks his lips, his expression a heady mix of fear and lust. Just look at all this trouble you're putting us through, you say, shaking your head as you set the spreader bar down and reach for the button of his jeans. I do hope you'll be prepared to show proper appreciation by the time we're done with you. Cronus squirms and struggles as you pull his jeans and underwear down, but the motion only helps to get him out of his clothes. Possibly that was the intent. His little snarls have more than a little moan to them, after all. You strap one of the spreader bar's cuffs around his thigh, slightly more slowly than you need to, touching the coldness of his skin and letting yourself be unnerved by the proximity. His bulge sheath is dilating by the time you push his legs apart so you can attach the other cuff. The bar will keep his legs apart, about 2 handspans at the knees. It shouldn't be uncomfortable, but you doubt he'll be going far like this. And, of course, it's horribly undignified. There, you say as you stand again. That should keep you from running off without permission, shouldn't it? Cronus nods. Mute, staring at you in desperate awe. Every belittling thing you say to him makes you more aware of your bulge. You want to have him, to hurt him and use him and reduce him to a trembling wreck. You pull up the hem of his shirt, and Dirk helps you wrestle one of Cronus's arms free of it. You cuff that wrist to the corresponding thigh before repeating the process on the other side.
Dirk pulls the shirt off the rest of the way, and then you have Cronus helpless between you, his legs spread, his hands down at his sides, so he can neither fight you nor cover himself. You trail one fingertip down his thorax, just at the front edge of his gills. Cronus trembles, and his bulge makes a wet sound as it slides from its sheath. There, you see? Isn't this better than running off somewhere by yourself? Your hand slides further down, far enough to trace the curve of a hip bone, and you pull back when his bulge tries to reach for you. You are much better off like this.
Sir, Cronus breathes, and, oh, you could get used to that.
You still want to discipline him, boss?
Dirk asks. You lick your lips.
I think I'd better, yes.
Come on, brat.
Dirk catches Cronus by the nape and drags him over to the table. It's supremely awkward for Cronus to stumble even that far, and he seems to be mock struggling again, but he trills when Dirk pushes him down across the table. His spine arches, presenting like he's an animal in heat. You can smell the salt of his fluids and the heady sharpness of his arousal. He wants to be used. You're going to beat him, scratch him, bite him, and he's going to love it. You take down a riding crop from Dirk's collection of implements, and after a moment's hesitation, a whip-thin cane as well. There are other things that fascinate you, like the braided cat-o'-nine-tails, nearly as long as your arm. But they'd be harder to control, and you don't want to make mistakes. You want to be in control of what you do to him, how you hurt him. His neck glistens wetly as you walk back towards him, as you admire his helplessness as he rocks his hips back again. Look at you, you say. No self-control at all. Clearly, you shouldn't be left alone. You need someone to take charge of you and instill the discipline you're lacking. You run your claws up the back of one thigh, and he trembles.
Please, he moans. Please, Chief, I want to be good. I just can't help myself. Please fix me up. Please make me better.
Oh. It's good to see that you're learning your place, you say. You swallow hard. Now, let's see how sincere you are. You raise the crop, and for a moment, you hesitate there, glancing up at Dirk. Really? They both trust you to do this? Dirk nods, and then mouths slowly and clearly.
Go for it.
You swing. You don't think you even hit him very hard. You're certainly not putting much force behind it. But he jumps, his gills flexing sharply as his whole body shivers. You do it again. The flat end of the crop smacks against his thigh, a satisfying, sharp crack. And in its wake, you hear him chirp. God, you want more. You strike him harder, your nerves on fire, your body suffused with the bright, hot thrill of victory. Cronus writhes against the table as you find your rhythm. Not as if he's trying to get away, but as if he's aroused by the pain. His skin is flushing lavender under the repeated blows, and you want very badly to touch it, tender as it must be. A second later, you realize there's no reason you can't. You lower the crop and reach for him with your free hand, running your fingertips up the back of his thigh. He trembles, trying to push towards your hand, trilling obscenely. The blood-flushed skin is warmer than his usual temperature. On impulse, you pinch him and twist your fingers sharply. He keens, jerking away from you, and you freeze.
Use your words, Cronus,
Dirk says, his tone such a perfect, patient mimicry of an actual culling services worker that you're almost alarmed.
Kangri's going to a lot of trouble for you. Don't you think you should let him know how you feel about that?
Cronus sucks in a deep breath. It's good, he says, breathy and wonderful.
It's good. It's so good.
And what do you say when someone does something for you? you prompt him. "Thank you," he gasps out. "Thank you, sir." You run your claws over that tender skin. You keep them trimmed short so you don't alarm your human co-workers, but they're still enough to make Cronus shudder. You drag them over the delicate inside of his thigh and meet wetness. When you pull your hand back, your fingers are smeared with violet. "Still can't control yourself, I see," you say. You walk around the table to look at his face, looking down at him where Dirk has him pinned by the nape. His cheeks are flushed, his pupils huge and dark. You show him the mess on your fingers, your hand close enough that he'll be able to smell it. "Look what you've done."
"Let me fix it, Chief. Let me take care of it,"
Cronus pleads. He strains towards you, extending his tongue to try to reach. It's so filthy and depraved. For a second, you don't even move, stunned that he would offer, that he would make it so easy. Then you push your fingers into his open mouth, and he hums around them as he sucks his fluids off your skin. You stroke his tongue, marvel at how well he keeps his teeth away from your flesh. Wonder suddenly and vividly if the soft wetness of his mouth is anything like the feel of his nook. Your jeans are soaking wet, your sheath dilated. The only reason your bulge hasn't emerged is that it doesn't have room. Dirk leans into you, human warm, and brings his mouth to your ear so he can murmur, "You're doing great. He can probably take the cane now that he's warmed up some." You take your hand back, and Cronus whimpers when you release his mouth. He wants you so much, it's intoxicating. "Let's see what you've learned now, shall we?" you ask sweetly. When you come back around behind him, you take up the crop again, partly because that wonderful flush has started to fade, but partly because you have an irrational need to keep Dirk from orchestrating everything about this encounter. The smack of leather against Cronus's skin is so satisfying, and watching the color rise across his glutes and thighs again makes you feel viciously delighted. The spot where you pinched him looks like it's bruising, and you want more. That's what makes you pick up the cane. It's a remarkably primitive little instrument, a narrow length of bamboo with raw leather wrapped around one end to make a handle. It weighs almost nothing. It seems counterintuitive for this to be the more vicious implement of the two. You swing it through the air to get a feel for its movement, and it cuts the air with a sharp little audible swish. Cronus shudders. Delight sparks along your spine, and you do it again. Cronus whines, desperate and submissive. God, you can smell him, the pheromones rising off his skin, the fluids dripping down his thighs. The soft tissues of his nook are swollen, plump, and wet, and he couldn't hide that from you if he wanted to. He's helpless. You want him so much. You lash out with the cane. It whistles through the air and hits his skin with a dull slap. And Cronus wails, writhing desperately as though he's trying to escape. For a second, you're horrified, sure that you've gone too far, sure that he'll call things off now. Will he ever forgive you for hurting him, or for the way you badly want to do that again? But he's not asking you to stop, you realize. He's taking deep, shuddering breaths, calming himself down, relaxing across the table again. Dirk is running slow fingers through his hair. When he sees you looking, he smiles reassuringly. You touch the welt the cane left, twin raised lines of lavender with a violet-black bruise running between them. The noise Cronus makes then is more obviously sensual, still pained but longing. "You look so beautiful like this," you tell him hoarsely. You're forgetting your role, but you can't help yourself. He shivers.
"Anything you want, Chief. I'm yours to train to..."
"Mine to discipline as I see fit," you say, queasy with the thrill of it.
"Yes, yes," he moans. "Ain't gonna try to get away again. Promise, I learned my lesson. It's better here."
And he's pushing into your hand, even though that must hurt. You press harder on the fresh bruise, and his gills flutter, but he doesn't shy away. You lick your lips. I think I might need to give you a few more stripes to match this one, just to make sure the lesson sticks. He takes a deep breath.
Thank you, sir.
How can he just agree to it? How can he be so willing to give you what you want? This encounter is doing things to you. Not just the arousal, but a desperate, protective admiration. You want to take him apart and put him back together. Force all of his buried good traits to the surface. Is this anything like what Dirk feels? Is this how it's supposed to go? You gather your thoughts and step back, gauging the distance before you strike again. You give him 6 strokes with the cane in total, roughly parallel lines down the backs of his thighs. He sobs and whimpers at each one, but even though you give him plenty of time to use his safe word between strokes, or even tell you plainly to stop, you don't think you could bring yourself to ignore it if he said no. He does nothing of the sort. His bruises are so vivid, so beautiful. The way he can't hold still, the way the pain reduces him to a writhing, warbling mess. After that 6th stroke, you set the cane down on the table beside him and run your bare hand over his skin instead. He whimpers like you're hurting him just as much with the kindness, after what you've put him through. And you trail your fingers more purposefully along the marks the cane left. You should see how you look right now, you tell him. So helpless. So desperate.
Scared?
He slurs, still pushing into your touch like a needy purr-beast. Yes, you breathe, and something cracks open inside you as you admit it. Yes, perfect. You stroke his back, run your nails down his skin gently, shaken by the amount of tenderness you're feeling all at once. Is this why Cronus claimed it didn't feel caligneous? Does Dirk feel anything like this? You look up, suddenly self-conscious, but there's nothing judgmental in his expression as he watches you. If anything, you'd call his expression satisfied. Then Cronus makes another sound, a stifled trill accompanied by a wet slide, and Dirk's eyebrows rise.
That sounds like unauthorized recreation to me, he says.
It does, doesn't it? You say. Calling it something so detached and euphemistic helps you find the fortitude for what you want to do next. You shake your head. The poor thing really can't help himself, even when he's trying to behave.
Sorry, Chief, Cronus says as you take a step back to look. I want to be good. I do.
I know you do, you reassure him. That's why we're here to help you. This is for your own good. You understand that, don't you? He trills his assent, and you look down. His bulge is writhing, squirming, pushing up into his nook. Slurry trickles down his thighs as he pales himself, the motion slow and insistent. You can't look away. It's the most obscene thing you've ever seen. You have to swallow several times to find your voice. Poor thing, you say, still unable to control yourself. I suppose we'll have to provide you some assistance. Dirk, if you would. You think that sounded plausible. Not too much like you're just painfully unsure of your next move.
You got it, boss, Dirk says. Give me a hand getting him onto his back.
Of course, you say. You are partners here, doing your duty to aid the poor unfortunate in your care, who is, spread and bound like this, entirely incapable of simply moving himself. Between the two of you, it's a simple task to turn Cronus over, to arrange him flat on his back, on the table, legs raised, toes curled against the table's edge. If anything, this position gives you an even better view of his desperation, the steady coil and plunge of his bulge. When you make yourself look up at his face, he's watching you, his fins spread wide and his mouth open.
I just couldn't help it, he says,
like it's an apology.
It feels so good, is all.
You move around the table to be able to touch his fin, to stroke the rim and watch his eyes flutter closed. Of course it does, you say, even though you're still amazed that appears to be true. And I want you to know that we appreciate, I appreciate, the fact that you're trying to be good. You mean that both in character and out of it. The plan called for him to fight you, but you're finding this much easier, watching him struggle but hearing him affirm that he's willing to suffer for you. He turns his head to kiss your palm.
Doing my best, he says. Wanna make you proud.
That takes your breath away. You're still tongue-tied when Cronus whines pitiably, and you look down to see Dirk pulling him free of himself.
There you go. Nice and easy,
Dirk says. Cronus's bulge writhes in his hands, thick and ridged, dripping genetic material all along its length. Dirk squeezes, and Cronus writhes on the table, pushing into both Dirk's hand and yours. You envy Dirk's obvious ease and confidence. For all that you have the same anatomy as Cronus, you don't trust yourself to handle him with any sort of competence. Still, you can't look away, either. You watch as Dirk fits some sort of sleeve around Cronus's bulge, a translucent, jelly-like rubber that clings to him snugly. Cronus groans at the feel of it, and you realize what a prison it makes. It holds roughly half his bulge straight and inflexible, so there's no way he can twist back around to fill himself. You pet his hair.
Shh,
you don't have to do everything yourself, you know. We're here to help you. If... Your voice cracks and you swallow hard, trying to make yourself say it calmly. If you need your bulge tended to, you should ask.
Oh, God,
Cronus whines, and from the way he's struggling, you think he actually wants to spread his legs further.
Please, please.
Just like that. Good boy,
Dirk says. He touches the sleeve at the base, and it starts to vibrate with a low, mechanical hum. Cronus makes the most amazing, desperate noises, full-throated trills and moans as his bulge lashes across his abdomen. Dirk beckons to you, and you come around to watch from between Cronus's legs. He's utterly breathtaking, bound and spread, wearing your bruises, his nook fluttering and clenching hungrily as he leaks genetic material all over himself. You can't take your eyes off him. Dirk slips on some sort of glove, furred on the back and studded with little metal points on the palm, and starts to stroke Cronus's thorax with it slowly. He switches between using one side and the other, and Cronus squirms and shudders, mewling with need. It seems like such a little touch, such a simple thing to provoke reactions like that. You hadn't really considered the idea that gentleness could be just as overwhelming as pain, if deployed the right way. You brush your knuckles down the back of Cronus's thigh, over the marks you left, and he lifts his hips as if he's offering you his dripping nook. For a moment, you hesitate there. You're not prepared for this, not practiced at this, not at all sure of yourself. But he's so clearly desperate for more than he's getting, and he smells so maddeningly good. You pull your hand away, and he sobs. Do we need another reminder about using your words? You ask, trying to keep your voice steady. You can't expect to get the best care unless you're forthcoming about what you need.
Want you,
Krona says, without hesitation, throaty and raw.
Please, sir, need something for my nook, too.
Something, you echo skeptically. That's not particularly clear, I'm afraid. Something like this? You let your trembling fingertips trace a line down the length of his nook, barely touching him. The scent of his pheromones is so intense, you're beginning to feel intoxicated with it. Or, perhaps, more like this. You smack him, right beneath his globes, where the folds of his nook first part, sharply, but not hard. He still jerks the way he did when you first hit him with the crop. "Oh," he says. "Oh, oh." His bulge leaving fresh, thick smears of violet across his skin, his hands flexing helplessly, as if he's desperate for something to hold on to. You can't help yourself. You do it again. You keep the blows light. That's incredibly sensitive tissue. But it's glorious to see him like this, trembling and incoherent, entirely at your mercy. He tosses his head and sobs out more needy, beautiful sounds. You want him. You want to bury yourself in him. Find out just how it would feel to sink your bulge into him and take him apart from the inside. You run your fingers down his slit to stroke the entrance of his nook, feeling the cool slickness of lubrication. "Yes, yes, please, yes," Cronus moans, trying to push himself onto your fingers. "Want you in me so bad, bro. Want you to fuck me. Want you to fill me up." And his voice breaks there, on a stuttering chirp that you can't help but echo. You look at Dirk. Isn't that taboo in human romantic relationships? But he doesn't look upset, only raises an eyebrow as if he's asking what you want to do. You close your eyes, feel the weight and heat of your own desire, your body so immediate and overwhelming in a way you've spent ages refusing to allow. You nod.
"Let's flip him back over to make that sloppy hole easier to reach," Dirk says, and Cronus nods frantically.
You both handle him roughly as you turn him onto his stomach, pushing him around like a thing with no will of his own. His bulge drips more violet onto the floor between his legs, and for a moment, you make yourself stop and just look. Here he is, a sea dweller. That shouldn't matter, but maybe, just for a few minutes, just for now, you can let yourself enjoy it. Beaten and bound and spread open so you can see how incredibly wet for you he is. You pull your shirt off over your head and toss it out of the way. You don't even care where it goes. Your hands tremble as you fumble your jeans open, and your bulge slides from your already dilated sheath as soon as it has room. And you thought you were long past insecurity about your hemochrome deficiency, but you're glad Cronus can't look at you right now. Dirk is watching you, but you try not to let yourself pay too much attention to that. You step closer, thinking about the school feeds you had on concupiscent relations ages ago, hoping you won't be too pathetic at this, desperate enough that need overpowers self-consciousness. When your bulge first finds the slick folds of his nook, you churr helplessly at how wet and smooth it feels, how perfect that seems against the tip of your bulge. Then you sink into him, twisting and rippling into cool, clutching softness, and the two of you churr in harmony. It feels so intensely good, so right, so soothing in some primitive, vital part of your think pan. You press your hips up close against Cronus's glutes so you can fit your entire length into him, and already you can feel your bulge starting to pulse with the first wave of releasing material.
"God, so hot," Cronus moans. "You're so hot. It's good."
And his nook pulls at you hungrily as his words dissolve back into pure sound. Dirk makes a noise then, too, and you look over to see that he's unzipped his jeans, too, and is touching himself as he watches you. Maybe you should be embarrassed, but you find you're not. It just makes you feel powerful and attractive to know what a reaction you're provoking.
"Any chance you're willing to share?" Dirk asks. "Let me have his mouth."
The fact that he asks you, not Cronus, makes your bulge thrash with reflexive, nasty pleasure. You glance down. If you thought Cronus would be upset, you'd refuse. But everything he's shown you so far suggests that the more he's overwhelmed with sensation, the more he enjoys himself. And you want to see it.
"Be my guest," you say. "You've been so instrumental in his reform, it only seems right for you to enjoy him."
Cronus's nook clenches around you, an almost savage throb that draws more material from your bulge and makes you ache with pleasure. You watch as Dirk feeds his stiff bulge into Cronus's mouth. It's thick and blunt, not tapered like a troll's, and you imagine it must force his mouth wide. God. And you remember what his mouth felt like, pliant and yielding. It must feel so amazing to fuck him there. And there's no question that's what Dirk is doing. He takes Cronus by one horn and holds on, rocking his hips, thrusting hard enough that you can feel echoes of it in the way Cronus moves against you.
That's what you've been waiting for, isn't it?
Dirk murmurs. And at first, you're not sure if he's talking to you or Cronus. But then he goes on.
Just want to be a sloppy little fuck toy, don't you? Want to get used good and hard from both ends.
You trill, because Cronus's nook flexes and ripples in response to those accusations, suckling your bulge, greedy for as much material as you can fill him with. Dirk bites his lip, watching you, and you want to give back as good as you're getting. So much better now that you've found your place, isn't it? You ask. Now that you've learned what you're good for? The noise Cronus makes is muffled by Dirk's bulge, but that only makes him sound more desperate. You're not sure how much more you can take. It feels too good.
We'll have to give you more training, so you can service your caretakers properly.
Dirk groans, and that sound is like a burst of triumph low in your belly. He takes a shaky breath.
Make sure you're always ready to provide a little stress relief anytime we need it.
He adds,
only fair when we take such good care of you, right?
Cronus is moaning frantic assent and fluttering desperately around your bulge, and the idea of keeping him like this, a pet, a toy, a fuckable convenience, is too much, too wrong and too compelling, and you lose the last of your control, spilling into him in one overwhelming flood that leaves you feeling scorched and hollowed out and perfect.